Don't miss the 23 days of Christmas in Florida's largest poker room. High hands every half hour win over $270,000 in prizes, including TVs, Apple products, Xbox, PS4, Beats by Dre headphones, Bose speakers, and WSOPC Million Dollar Guarantee vouchers. All this December at Palm Beach Kennel Club, where the Mega Bad Beat is back. Plus, it's your last chance to win a new Mitsubishi Mirage on Friday, December 26th.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's December 19th, 2014. You're listening to the best poker cast on the tidal waves. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
I won't be able to hide it much longer. I am sick. Scott is sitting precariously close to me. He never gets sick. So it's all the alcohol, I think, right?
Yeah, so I go on the last cruise and have to fight off Ebola. Fine. Come on this cruise, and I'm going to get whatever crud you have.
I talk for about 2 minutes, and then that's it. I lose my voice. It's not good. And I just beat a cold, like, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago.
I think the cold might beg to differ.
Yeah, I think it didn't leave me. I think it was just hiding, you know, lulling me into this. So, it's been a busy week for me and you. I went over to the Palm Beach Kennel Club for our Ante Up Poker Tour event. Really cool. They always do things well over there. They're just a fine establishment. And I had a couple of funny things happen. I get there, and Will Herrera, one of the right-hand man to Noah and Tim Wright down there, a good friend of ours through the years doing Ante Up, especially when we started in our Florida days. And he's there. He sees me. He comes over. He's like, wow. I said, well, he goes, it's the quiet one from Ante Up. And I said, what? I said, I'm gonna give you a kiss. I said, because no one has ever referred to me as the quiet anything. He's like, oh, yeah, Scott, man, he's a crazy one. He's a loud, loves to talk, and you're the quiet one from Ante Up. I said, man, all right, I'm going to give you a big kiss. So that kind of cracked me up to be referred to. And so I'm sitting there with Big Dave Lemon, our great South Florida ambassador. We were chatting, and he interviewed me for his show, And when he heard that, he just chuckled. You know, he knew exactly what Will meant. But what do you have to say about that?
I'm speechless.
I know. You're the quiet.
I'm trying to be the quiet one.
That's right. You are the quiet one. But it was great to actually not be called the loudmouth for once in my life. So, I have an interesting story I wanted to bring up before we talk about the cruise, and I'll last as long as I can here. I was playing two no limit hold'em there. Passing the time until the event three was starting, which was about an hour. So it was middle of, you know, like right around dinner time, and maybe I was peckish. Maybe this is why this happened.
Peckish.
I don't know.
Wow.
Because I hadn't had dinner yet. So I was involved in a hand. There was a gentleman to my right who I had check raised earlier, like about three hands earlier, and he got totally baffled by it and kind of a little bit tilty, you know, I don't know. So we're in the hand, and he raises preflop. And I looked down at ace, king of diamonds, and I decided to slow play it, you know, thinking because I already got him on tilt, maybe I can really...
It's a drawing hand.
Yeah, and it's a drawing hand, that's right. So I thought maybe I could get this guy, you know, to just totally overcommit his chips and, you know, go bust on me because I figured he's trying to get the money back from me. So I decided to play it slow. I call his raise only, and the flop comes king high, and it was like rainbow. So he bets... I raise, but it was like a minimal raise, right? So he bets again, and I thought he went all in because of the way it went. You know, he didn't have any chips left in front of him. So I put all my chips out, and then the dealer deals everything out, right? But when the hand is done, I look at him. He looks at me. I look at him. He looks at me. He's waiting. I'm waiting. And then he's like, go ahead, go ahead. So I'm like, all right, I must have won. And he's just embarrassed, you know. So I turn over ace king. I indeed have the best hand. He mucks his cards, is angry like I expected him to be, you know. So play goes on, pushes me to pot. Two or three hands later, he leans over and he had a really, really thick Montreal accent, you know. And he says, you know, in poker, when you are called, you must show your cards. And I looked at him, and then it dawned on me that he called my all-in, I didn't call his. I literally slow rolled this poor guy for like 2 minutes, Scott. We just stared at each other for like, it felt like 2 minutes. Wait, and the whole table's like, come on, come on. I'm like, go ahead, you can turn over your cards. And then, because I want to see what he had, I want to see what he was raising and everything. And I was the one who was slow rolling him.
Oh, man.
I was so embarrassed. I like put my hand up over the Ante Up logo on my shirt and played the rest of the night one handed. I was so embarrassed. I mean, I didn't know what to say. I thought I called his all in, and I'm like, why would I show him my cards for free? I paid to see his cards, and he's just staring at me. I was so embarrassed.
This is why televised poker ruined the game, right?
That's right.
Because all you young hotshots there want to play this game where you can't just turn your darn cards over and move on with your life. It's all this posturing and stuff, all because of TV.
I know. I felt bad. I literally played like three more hands and then got up and said, I'm really sorry, guys. I'll see you later.
Slinked out of the poker room.
I did. I felt terrible. I have never slow rolled anybody for any reason, ever. And this, I wasn't doing it here, but I was doing it here. It was so embarrassing. But anyway, the Ante Up Poker Tour was very successful. They surpassed their guarantee, and they didn't crush it, which means he really knew his market. He knew what we would do. But we beat it by enough that it was like, hey, that was a good turnout. I'm glad we played in it. And it was nice to see a lot of familiar faces, even a few cruise faces, too. I'd walk up to him and go, hey, I haven't seen you since the cruise. And so it was nice to go and to see them. And like I said, they always put on a nice show there, and good. They got great staff and everything, so I enjoyed myself. But now we're on the cruise.
Yeah, and totally enjoying myself.
Yeah, I haven't seen you.
You not so much. But
I haven't seen you all week. How could you not enjoy me? You haven't seen me. Scott's the day guy. I'm the night guy. I haven't seen him once all week except for dinner.
Hey, the day shift is the best shift to have because we're in port two of those days. So
yeah, I know. Of course,
we're really hard on those days. But
you planned all that, I'm sure. I'm here. I'm sick as a dog, and I'm closing every night till 1:30, 2 a.m. And he's like, "Where are you?" I'm like, "Call me a princess this morning." I'm like, "Are you kidding me?"
Oh wow! But no, I can't say enough about this cruise. It's been amazing. I knew it was going to be from the beginning because when I was getting everything prepped, all of our supplies and things, I was looking at the manifest. And since Jeannie, your wife, has taken over the bookings now, I don't always know who's coming until I see the bookings just like that. And I started counting it up, and we easily had more than 60 repeat passengers on this sailing alone.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Almost, actually, more than half of our passenger base was all repeats, and you know, that just kind of warms the heart during the holiday season that that we built this thing that people keep coming back for, and some of them have been on here multiple times, and we'll get to
that in a minute.
How that loyalty plays out a little later, I knew it was going to be good from the beginning, and people seem to have a good time. First night we're rocking in here. Rocking in terms of playing, not the ship.
Right.
And that's just—it's just been a good cruise ever since.
Yeah, and you know, and this—if you recall, you could rewind to a year ago. It's almost identical to the types of games we had too. Every single night we've had an Omaha 8 game going, strictly Omaha 8. It started out as 5-10, then morphed into a 4-8 with a half kill. We had a 3-6 limit hold'em game going every single night. We had 1-3 no limit, two tables at least of 1-3 no limit hold'em every night. We had a couple of guys interested in 2-5, but we didn't get a 2-5 game going. I think maybe when those 2-5 players started seeing that they could do well in 1-3, they probably didn't push for it. But we probably could have got a 2-5 game going. And then one table all week long was basically dedicated to the Tidal Wave main event thing that we do now. And we've just now seen the culmination of all of those people qualifying all week, getting together for the main event, which is running right behind us right now. You can't hear it, but we're in another room. But, you know, it generated a big prize pool again for a $75 buy-in. You know? And you don't have to buy in any more than that if you don't want to.
Yeah, we tweaked a lot, as we said, after the last cruise, and I think we got it almost right. We'll make another tweak or two going forward. But it's been a fun little format for folks to take a shot. And it was just nice to hear right before they started it to see the people that advance more than their three stacks get paid out. And one gentleman got three buy-ins back. So
yeah, $225.
He advanced six times. So it's a good concept, and it works well for our ship and getting that prize pool up.
Yeah, and what was I going to say? I was going to say that the beauty of the satellites is that it's over in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So you know you got an hour to kill or whatever. But I mean, you know, if you sit down, you're not going to be, you know, some guy's not going to be milking a short stack in a regular sit and go where you could just sit there for an hour and a half or 2 hours. It's over in an hour. And if you have chips, you're moving on. If you don't, you're not. you know, and that's all there is to it. And that's how you can get a lot of them in. People can, you know, they can design their night around it. They can say, okay, look, hon, I'm going to play this. I'm going to be done in an hour. Then we'll go get dinner or go get a snack or go dancing or go to the pool or whatever it is. So you can have some sort of structure to your life while you're here, too. And it really is working out well. And the way we had it set up, too, was right by the cashier. Nice. As soon as you can see it from when you're walking into the room from the back, so you knew, hey, there are people sitting down and ready. Let's go get my seat, you know. And it just worked out really well. I mean, the prize pool, I think, like, first place is going to pay, like, close to $1,600,
$1,700. Yeah.
You know, again, almost $2,000 like last time. So it's a massive, massive prize pool for such a little buy-in.
I played almost no poker this cruise.
I know. Would you play seven hands?
About seven hands, yes. I came in the room in the afternoon once, and they were getting the second 1-3 table going. And I'm like, oh, I don't play the 1-3, no limit. And then I counted the players, and there was only four players. I'm like, all right, looks like you guys need me. Yes, we do.
Yeah.
So I sat down and played a couple hands, pocket aces, raised pre-flop, won the blinds, cashed out for 95 for my 100 bucks, so I lost $5. Tipped our lovely cashier only an extra $5, so I'm down $10 from poker this cruise. I'm down thousands and other things.
I'm sure. This guy has not been seen without a drink in his hand. Like right now, there's a can of Diet Coke in front of him. I doubt there's Diet Coke in there. I played every night. I played just No Limit Hold'em. When I walk in, they're like, Chris, this table's going to break. Hurry up. So then I go over and I save a table, and then I'll go save another table or something like that. But I haven't lost yet. I've had all winning sessions. It's weird. I always usually start out losing and then try to rally by the end of the week. But this week, right out of the gate, I won, and then I've won every night. So unless I do some sort of monumental fail between now and tomorrow morning, I'm going to be out ahead. So it's been a good shift, yeah. And just nothing major. I mean, just playing small pots, raising, and then, you know, taking it down or whatever, and then just doing it over the course of an evening, you end up winning a decent amount. So nothing really to talk about in poker. I've only made one made hand all week. All my pots have been like one pair or something like that. I had one hand where I made a flush. We got it all in, and I had the ace of clubs in my hand, and I made the river flush. And other than that, I mean, it's all been like little things, like stealing or whatever. So, but it's a good group, you know, some good players, some novices, some average players, and just been a real good group of people. And it's so nice to see everybody you know, you know.
Yeah, and I led the round table this morning, our advanced, air quotes, hold'em discussion, where we just get some passengers together and we just sit around and talk about stuff and help each other out with our games. And it was very interesting on this one because for the second year in a row, we have a lot of players from Texas Hold'em Poker Tour, mm-hmm. one of the largest free poker league company in Florida. And getting the questions from them is very interesting because, as you can imagine with any kind of free poker, people stay in
right.
to the end. So
right.
they're seeing a ton of rippers in their tournaments and, you know, complaining about getting sucked out on, what can you do about that? And so it's really interesting to try to give them an answer to that question while at the same time trying to encourage them to give them an answer for if they actually went to a casino environment
where
they're not going to see a ton of rippers. And that's very difficult, I found.
Yeah, because how do you answer that? One, you don't want to tell them, hey, don't play Texas Hold'em Poker Tours anymore, because that's the business model of the guy who brought these people on board. So that's what you have to try to adjust for. But then if you're going to go to a real casino, you're going to see a whole different game. And that's what you're playing here is a whole different game. It's hard. I don't know. How did you answer it? I mean,
well, yeah. I mean, one of the things that we talked about was preflop action a lot. And, I told him I like the 2.5x and then mm-hmm. one for the limpers. And obviously, in that environment, that's not going to work. But then we also had a very long discussion about, because we had a couple questions. So when the woman asked, hey, if I have ace queen suited in the big blind and it's limp to me, what do I do? And I'm like, you can either raise or you can check. But whatever path you go down, you got to continue down that path. So
yeah.
As long as you figure out which way it is, you can defend it.
Right.
And I think that's kind of what we kind of talked about with the other things as well, too, is that you're just going to have to know in these leagues that you can't raise that little bit amount, or you can, but everybody's going to keep coming
right.
up. So you got to play it. You got to play it differently than you would if
right.
Only one person came along. So, but very challenging, I think. Those leagues are great for people to get used to the game, and people love to have a good camaraderie and everything like that. But it is a different kind of poker, kind of weird.
Yeah, I wonder, too. I mean, you have to think that they've been playing that long in those leagues, that they've got to be getting better than the average bar league poker player. and they're probably hungering for something a little different. That's why his cruises fit so well for them, to get to see what it's like.
Well, they also know all these players as well, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a lot like people coming on a cruise. I mean, we all,
right?
You know, 60 people have been back here, so we know how they play.
Right.
So
right.
I think that's the same thing with these guys. That and that's obviously a big part of poker, is once you learn how a player plays, then you can play differently from,
yeah.
You know, the book can't teach you how to play against Chris Cosenza.
Right.
Only you can learn how to play against Chris Cosenza.
That's right.
The book can just give you the fundamentals. So they do have that going for him in there, but it's very interesting.
And Faso was here all week.
He was.
I ran into him a lot this week because he's like me. He doesn't get off the ship very much because he's been off and seen everything already. So we've run into each other a lot at the Solarium and breakfast and stuff. And he's been doing well this week. I think there was one shift where he was playing 3-6 limit hold'em and really wanted to play the Omaha game, but didn't want to play the 5-10. And then when they changed it to a 4-8, he's been crushing it.
Yeah.
He's been doing really well, and I think he took like 100 out of the game like every night since they started that. So, and he made a royal flush this week and in Omaha, and there was no low, and he was going up against someone that top boat. So she bets, he raises, and she calls. And he's like, how did I not get paid off there with the royal flush when she has top boat? And he was frustrated with that. But he made quads twice. He's having a big week. He's having a good time and reading a lot. And so, you know, that's the kind of thing. You know, you just come on here and do your thing and just enjoy these cruises. And they really are. We're so glad that they're all here. And a lot of the repeat people, though, I mean, it's just, it's like family now. It really is. Every Tampa and Port Canaveral cruise, you can pretty much bank on seeing the same cool people that we hang out with, and you hang out with them more than I do.
We were not going to get off the ship either, because we've done
yeah.
sports.
Yeah, right.
we had a good time in both ports. Came in, we just went to a restaurant and bar area, this is how sick it was, is we actually got there before the kitchen opened.
Wow.
And we had our first bucket of beer done before the kitchen opened.
Wow.
Like, what time is it?
It really got off early.
But then Cozumel is where the epicness of this cruise happens. And something always happens in Cozumel when we come on this cruise.
Yeah.
So a year ago is the infamous tattoo.
On the hip, by the way.
Yes, where Ramsey, our Pop Cruise manager, encouraged me to tap myself up. If he got an Annie Up tattoo, then I would as well, too. And of course, I couldn't turn that down, so that was last year's legend. So this year, we had a huge group of people to get off. A lot of our repeat passengers got off with us, and some staff members and stuff. And then we did our normal thing, went and had lunch at the same place we always do. Went to the crew bar, which we found last time, which was really cool. And you get a discount if you work on the ship. So do you work on the ship? We absolutely do.
That's right, you're not lying.
Not lying, right?
We're working on the ship.
So we're just hanging out there, and then a couple of our repeat passengers went for a walk and came back and said, hey, we're all going to go get fish pedicures.
Oh, yeah.
And we're like, what? Like, yeah, you're feeding this little thing, and the fish eats all the scales off it. Who's in? $20, I negotiated. Like, done! So we all, like five of us were going to do that, and then a couple other people came along just to watch. And by the end of the fish-eating foot thing,
right.
Everybody that came along had their feet in the fish things, and we all doubled up on all of them. So we had 12 people getting fish pedicures or whatever they're called.
Oh, man.
It was pretty hilarious to see people do it. A lot of videos being taken there. I can't wait to see those. So in the middle of all this, in the middle of all the fishy snuff, Ramsey starts talking to one of our regular passengers who's been on a long time, and encouraging her to attend, and just kidding around, right? And then eventually she's like, you know what, I think I'm going to do it. And we're like, whoa, really? Yeah, why not? Okay. So then we started working on some other passengers. and I'm like, hey, I'll buy them for anybody who's going to get any up on them. And so we ended up leaving the fish place, went to the same tattoo parlor that we went to last year, and four of our passengers now have the Andy Up A on various parts of the body, and three of them
first timers,
just like I was last year. So talk about loyalty. I can't imagine. It's just so great to know.
I mean, these people are like almost in their 50s. One of them's in their at least two of them are in their 50s. One of them's almost 50, and they never had a tattoo in their lives. And then, so of course, no, I didn't go with you, so I didn't know about it. And then when I get to dinner, somebody at dinner said to me, "Did you hear they got the tattoos?" And I'm like, "Oh my god, what does Scott do now?" You know, and get like one of our covers done on his forehead or something. Awesome. So they're like, no, it was, and then I don't reveal who it was in the show, but they told me who it was, and I said, there's no way. So I turn around, and I look at them, and they look at me, and they're like, what? And I'm like, there's no way you guys got real. They're like the henna, you know, whatever the hell they call it now. No, they're real. I said, come on. She said, no, and they got up, and so one of them came over, and we're in the middle of the dining room. Okay, this is where you show up with a tux if you have one kind of thing. And one of our players who got the tattoo takes off his shirt in the dining room to show it to me. And I'm like, oh, no. And there it was, A, right on his back. And I couldn't believe it. Four of them got the A on their body somewhere. And it's just ridiculous. I mean, and one of them showed it to me last night. And you can see it was raised, you know. It looks really cool when the A comes off the skin
Yeah.
It was really cool looking. And a couple of them, they said when they woke up this morning, they're like, did I really do that? And then their roommate said, oh, yeah, you really did it. And they're like, my arms, my shoulders bother me. It's hurting. You know, well, yeah, because you got a tattoo. I got a tattoo? Yeah. Have another drink. But, you know, a couple of them, they weren't drunk. They were sober. They just did it.
No, I don't think anybody was.
Yeah, they just did it, yeah. So it's just loyalty, man.
It's kind of stuff that happens on annual cruises. No one to miss it.
You don't want to miss it. So if you want your tattoo, your chance to check raise me. You should come out. Our next cruise is February 9th to the 15th, I think, right?
Yep.
At Port Canaveral, Florida. We're going to the Bahamas. So don't miss your chance. Anything else?
That's it.
I'm Chris Cassandra.
And I'm Scott Long.
And we'll see you at the tables.
Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.